Blog Talk Radio.
Hope everyone had a great week, and I hope you have an even better weekend to follow. Hope everyone's doing well, and we have some good poetry on the board tonight. Hello, Raxon, how are you?
All righty, what's going on?
Oh, don't ask me too many, questions that entitle thought, because I don't know what's going on. I'm just doing it, But we do have a good board of poetry. What do you think of that? I mean, we have a good board every week. This one's, pretty loaded up. I don't like to lock the board, but when they get full, I'm always afraid we're going to have just way too much to carry over, and then I feel guilty. So, we have lots of good stuff, lots of audios, and lots of good poems, so I'm looking forward to it. How's your week? How's your weather?
Going down to 25 tonight.
Oh. Burr. I don't know where we were today, but it was chilly. Our low was supposed to be 25, so I'm not sure if that's been or going to be, Mine's supposed to be low of 31 and a high of 46. So we're back where we started, I guess. we had a wonderful day yesterday. It felt like spring. And I was liking that. I guess that's just a tease to let us know it's coming when it darn well feels like it. That's how that I like that a lot. Okay, well, listen, we got two callers already. Let me pick them up, and we'll get this party started. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Okay, first off, we have Katie, which is Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Weaver, and how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. Hello to you both.
Hello, Kate.
I can hear you.
Excellent.
Yep.
Hi, Rex.
Yep.
Great.
Oh, that
By
must
the
mean
way. Sorry, Rex, what was that?
That must mean they're working.
So far.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. Otherwise, I'm getting you telepathically, perhaps.
Well, we'll have to see how that carries over on the radio then. Sounds good.
Yeah. Jean, can I just say, my dear, you sound like you're in a fish tank.
Oh, I don't know. That was last week. That was Rex. This week it's my turn. That's funny.
Oh,
I don't know why.
It's okay. It doesn't interrupt.
That's because I was got last night. Internet and phone went out all at once.
Oh, no.
God. You're up for it, huh? Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, kind of funky. You don't usually get both going, but they all right. They said, bye. You're no longer available.
Oh, my God, that's crazy.
I'm still commenting for an extra 2 minutes past the time. That's all right, what the hell's going on? Hello? Hello? Yeah, where are you?
Why is it so quiet?
Nobody's there, and neither was I.
That's funny. There's something about when it gets really quiet. All of a sudden you go, wait a minute, what's going on? Yeah. I totally get it. Okay, and in addition to Kate, we have Laurent. So, hello, Laurent. Happy Friday.
Good evening. Good evening. Chocolate song, Rex.
Is that what?
I said chocolate tongue? Really?
Well, think about
wow.
it.
Wow.
You got to go a little deeper. Chocolate tongue, Zambuca lips, and kiwi pinwheels eyeing Chamfort on truffled moons. You've got to dig in a little further. You've already got chocolate on the tongue.
Is this your fantasy menu?
You've already got chocolate on the tongue. You've got Zambuca on the lips, and now you're eyeing that raspberry-coated truffle moon.
You're flying higher than I am. Rarified air.
Well, if you're going to dream, dream big.
There you go.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I don't know, Rex. They've been talking about you out in that room of ours. I don't know what's going on. Oh my God.
Well, because you got to use food and flavors. To that which savors.
You know I'm not jumping into this conversation any more than I already did. You just know me better than that. But they're having all kinds of, I don't know, they have fruits and nuts and, you know. Yeah. Well, that's happening out there. But I'll tell you what, we got a lot of poetry on the board, and I'm going to get us started somewhere. Now, Rex, we have a carry over here from Lauren 67, so I think we're just going to start the show off with that, and
right.
Have you read it, cut. Nobody can read it quite like you do, and here you go.
Okay. Love the One You're With by Lauren 67. Love the One You're With, the adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie, Alfie, in Love the One You're With. Now, would you look at that? Who would have ever thought of that, huh, Alfie? But Nigel, the black crow is flying with the white dove. But Nigel, I remember back in the day when the black crows weren't allowed to fly with the white doves. But Nigel, yeah, Alfie, we've come a long way. But Nigel, it's beautiful, man. It makes me feel so warm inside. I'm going to sing a song. If you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. Come here, you pretty white dove. Yikes, wings, don't fail me now. Don't you fly away from me. Bon appetit, my sweet appetizer. I love me some white meat. Warning, warning, stranger danger, danger. Bogey at 12 o'clock. Zigzag, zigzag. Oh, shit. Help. Never mind. Ding, ding, ding. You win. Bonus cone. Congratulations. I saw Aletta trying to be a zucchini in disguise. I asked it if it thought it was wise. And do you know what it said to me? It said, just let us be. Zook, zook, zook. Let us be. Zook, zook, zook. Let us be. Zook, zook, zook. Zucchini. Now, ain't that a kick in the head? This salad wannabe now thinks it's Paul McCartney. Oh, well, I guess I'll just let it be. Zook, zook, zook. Let it be. Zook, zook, zook. Let it be. Zook, zook, zook. Zucchini. And poem. All right, Kate. Let's stop.
You said my name, yeah? Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, can I say, first of all, wonderfully read. I thought that was fabulous. I like this Alfie and Nigel. Nigel and Alfie? Yeah, I think they're brilliant. Really, always really funny, really amusing, clever. I think I heard one where Pam was, maybe not, anyway. Pam was in it, I'm sure. But yes, beautifully written and a lot of fun. And I think the white dove and black crow are never going to get together. Okay, hopefully. So thank you very much.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. And Laurent, how about you?
I'll second the great read, by the way. I got a feeling you had read it before. You were prepared. It was a cold read. You did. A sideways look at racism and the encouragement of love between two different races, which is always nice. Pretty soon we'll all be one color. And won't that make life a lot easier? And then there's the nonsense aspect of it developed from a Beatles song, I guess. Your read accented the sheer nonsense of it. And, you know, you can get a lot of joy out of that kind of thing. Appreciate this poem a great deal.
Hi. Thank you, Laurent. And Jean, how about you?
I have to say, there was another 2 minutes get put out by Lawrence 67. You know, he always tries to come in on the Sundays and throw in a tidbit of one sort or another. And humorous. And you read, the way you read them really brings it all out. Because if I were to read that, you would have lost all of the, you just lost it all. And you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? So that's what really brings it out for everyone to enjoy. So nice work, Lauren 67, and thanks for sharing. Sorry it took me so long.
Nice. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, I enjoyed Lawrence's pieces because they do give me a chance to play and have a little bit of fun. And he's all about the fun in his voice. So this was all from the David Crosby show.
Yeah.
A leftover, a rollover rather. And then the bit with the Let It Be from McCartney. So that was pretty cool. And I do enjoy having a little fun with his two cats, Nigel and Alfie, as does he, since they center around all the works and they're always funny as hell. Thank you, Lawrence. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okay. Kate, I'm going to ask you to read the next piece for us. It's by Darkened Auras, and it's called Take Me With You. So, you'll be so kind.
Yes, certainly. Just, I'm refreshing as we speak. Does that ever work? Oh, I got it. Yay. Oh, good. Oh, here I am. Take Me With You. Serious face on. It's the first day of school, Mum drops you off, saying be back at 3, I have to go. You try to follow, saying, I want to go too. Mama, please take me with you. Mum is going out to run errands, some shopping, thinks you will be bored. You grab your backpack, yelling, I want to go too. Mama, take me with you. Mum is going out on New Year's, and this year you're finally 21. You're all dressed up and say, I want to go too. Mama, can I go with you? Your mum really wants to go back to school, but she's obviously afraid, and you say, you know, I kind of want to go back to school too, Mama. I can sign up with you. Your mother is slowly drifting away, soon to be with loved ones in heaven. You kiss her cheek, not knowing what else to do, whispering, Mama, I know this time I can't go with you. End poem.
Great. Okay, thank you very much. And Jean, why don't I start with you, please?
I think this was a well-done piece. I mean, there's a lot in each one of these stanzas. You know, there's it's also relatable. You know, first day of school. You know, the latter parts are not so relatable to those, you know, younger people. Yeah, it was really nicely done, and I love the references here. So, Darkened Earth, I think you did a fabulous job with this. You know, to take me with you. Kind of brings a tear to your eye when you get thinking about it. So there's a little bit of sadness here that you just can't escape. So well done, and thank you for sharing.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
Off mute.
Yes, you, man, oh, man, I could kick myself. All right, I'm sorry. If you take, this is quite a moving poem. If you take the last line of each stanza, Mama, please take me with you. Take me with you. Can I go with you? I can sign up with you. I can't go with you. The first three lines are memories. And then there's a separation, an emotional separation. Mama, can I go with you? Either she's passed or is very sick. Not sure which. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me, is to separate that line and read it the way I did. I don't know, but it's very, very moving. Wonderfully written.
Excellent. Thank you, Lou. And Kate, you got to read it. What about you?
Oh, yes. It was a great poem to read. Really beautifully put together and very sad, very sad. So you're getting basically what it feels like to grow up and be wonderfully happy with your mum and what she does for you, and then we get to the end where she can't go. Her mother is slowly drifting away, and she can't go with her this time, much she wants to. So yes, wonderfully written, beautiful. Dad, thank you so much for sharing.
All right, thank you, Kate. Yeah, there's those first two stanzas kind of hit on a sense of dread and fear, being young and mom going out. That third one kind of walks into the fact that she's finally 21, but she doesn't want to go out alone, so she asks mom to go with her for New Year's. And that fourth one. Thought going back to school, but she's going to be afraid. And you say, you know, I kind of want to go back to school too. And can I sign up with you? There's still that note of wanting to spend time together, because, you know, as we get older, things change. And usually the kids, they move away. But I read her AN, and she notes that her mother fell or keeps falling. And she got transported to the hospital in February, just a couple of weeks ago, and by the time she finished, the thought, the last stanza in my mind was all over the place, thinking of multiple things, such as What Do You Say by Reba McEntire, and How Can I Help You Say Goodbye. So there is a note of almost understanding things are a little different now, and even though she understands, it's still the memories of the bits of anxiety through youth, and now that anxiety has kind of hit another note, because you know there will be a time when she has to say goodbye, and it's not something she's looking forward to. Nicely done, Gio. Thank you. Sad, but something we all can gravitate and understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Arcana Amore, and I have an audio for that. So here we go.
Your eyes betray you with empty stares, endlessly searching through lonely tears. I hear your heartbeats cry for comfort. They fall like leaves on silent prayers. In telltale streams where hope has fallen, that drift in echoes that call our names. Lost in the silence of absent whispers, weep the ghosts from mistaken pasts. We share the shadows of faded kisses. Your forsaken lips have forgotten smiles. Let me shine light upon your darkness. I'm close beside you through stormy skies. You rise as the dawn upon my twilight, painting rainbows where rain once poured. Let's dance through dreams in floating clouds, soaring towards heaven on shooting stars. I'll keep you warm when fires are doused. We'll swim through oceans that ebbed away. Now feel my touch that glides your sorrow to heal your pains from wounded years. Meet my arms as they wrap you in love, pulling you closer to my protection. Bury the sadness that haunts inside and wave farewell to broken wishes. Tomorrow awaits with pristine promise. I know you can see now the tears have gone. I'm hearing heartbeats sigh with comfort, softly fluttering on answered prayers.
Wonderful read, Arcana. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh my Lord! You know, it was read at such a pace. A marriage with the syllables and the lines. He broke each line in half, really, and it was about the length of a breath. And that's projective verse. And the four syllables, the pause, and then the next four syllables create a rhythm, a beat that is absolutely mesmerizing. I just found myself kind of spellbound, really. I kept looking at the image. There's something about blue and white instead of black and white that is very, very interesting. Geez, what can you say about the words? I really have no words because It's good. It's damn good. It's beyond hope good as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what else to say.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Kate, how about you?
Yes. Oh, so good, so good. I like this one a lot. I like the fact that that voice just gives you everything. And it makes all his poetry come to life. In telltale streams where hope has fallen, that drifting echoes that call our names, lost in the silence of absent whispers, keep the ghost from his taken path. That's such a beautiful job. His words are really wonderful, and I enjoy listening. In fact, I was enjoying listening to him so much, and I forgot to look at the piece of poetry he was talking about. I just listened to his voice. And so I have to read it now. But yes, it was absolutely wonderful. Nothing less than we normally expect. So thank you so much, Arcana, for sharing.
All right. Thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I think this piece was just excellent throughout. Wonderful, wonderful lines. You know, each stanza, you know, is just, I don't know, just beautifully put together. You know, I was looking for one, and I could pick any one of them. It's like, meeny, meeny, miny, mo. But this one here I did like.
Yeah.
I'll keep you warm when the fire is the best. We'll swim through oceans that ebb away. Now feel my touch to glide your sorrow, to heal your pains from wounded years. Meet my arms as they wrap you in love, pulling you closer to my protection. Bury the sadness that haunts inside, and wave farewell to broken wishes. Just beautifully, beautifully stated. His words are always wonderful. His presentation is always wonderful. I can't help but say, you know, yeah, it's wonderful all the way through. I love to listen to him read his work. He paces it nicely. Although I have to say, in the beginning of this, I thought it was actually a little quicker than some of his pieces. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, you know? But yeah, it was just really, really well done. So thank you so much, Arcana, for sharing with us. You know, I love when you share your work, so it's enjoyable. And sorry it was a carryover, but it was definitely well worth the wait on my part. Thank you.
Absolutely. There was just enough darkness in the music and the words themselves that leave a haunting note that slowly ebbs away as the poem, as you read the poem. And you've got to start with that first stanza, the last two lines. I hear your heartbeats cry for comfort. They fall like leaves on silent prayers. And then he finishes out where the light has finally burst through with the last stanza. I'm hearing heartbeats sigh with comfort, softly fluttering on answered prayers. So you get the haunting loneliness up front, which then gets delivered to the beauty in the light and something a little bit more at the back end of this, making it a full a full turn. Nicely done, Arcana.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. Let me see now. That was it was a wonderful take on the prompt that was given to him for that as well. Okay, Laurent, I have the next piece up for you. And, well, I don't have it up yet, but it's getting there. By Robert Pilesco Flowers.
Right. Spring flowers. Upon newly green wings comes the season of spring, from iron gray to verdant fairyland. Peppermint grass spreads. Nature's surgeon jumpstarts life into the land. Soil laughs as flowers ripple, blossom by blossom. Spring's music fills the air. Whispers of the winter become too faint to hear. Earth opens up nature's treasure chest. Waves in a sea of vivid blooms, lullaby the springtime. Echoes in sun-warmed ears. Flowers ignite the inner smile as candle flames give without losing essence or strength, as only natural love can. Love, beautiful spring flowers and as bright as the morning sun. Come as children do, boldly unique, born to grow in their own way, to their own selves be true. They come as the smiles that reach to the eyes. Flowers are chaos in a choreographed order, the art and science, yet also with a magic that reach to the core, song for the eyes in the silence of woodland, brilliance the world needs, even under the cloud, they are the sunshine. Flowers are rainbow freckles to adorn the green, the dancing rainbow, as if light and music found new way to blossom. Come to adorn the earth, to simply be, to drink in the sunlight and rain, grow and have their time to do. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Kate, why don't we start with you, please?
Okay, okay. This was beautiful. This was really, and you read that very well, by the way. It was beautiful. I thought this was such a happy and then sad and then happy poem, which is great. It's the way life is. You know, you're good, you're bad, you're not so great. But I thought he put that together in a way that was very entertaining, very interesting, very clever. So come as children do, boldly unique, born to grow in their own way, to their own self be true. They come with a smile that reach to the eyes. I liked it a lot. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Robert, thank you.
Thank you, Kate. Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I have to say, I really, I enjoyed this piece very much. I think that it had some wonderful personification throughout and beautiful imagery. You know, the thoughts were wonderful. Flowers ignite the inner smile as candle flames give without losing essence or strength, as only natural love can. Love, beautiful as spring flowers and as bright as the morning sun, come as children do, boldly unique, born to grow in their own way, to their own selves be true. They come as the smiles that reach to the eyes. I don't know, there was so much going on in here. I love the flowers or rainbow freckles to adorn the green and dancing rainbow. I thought it was I thought it was beautiful. So excellent job, Robert, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Wonderful work.
Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this poem is filled with absolutely beautiful descriptions of nature, personifications, similes. Hard pressed to pick a stanza. To me, the last one absolutely wraps it up. I read flowers or rainbow freckles to adorn the green, the dancing rainbow, as if light and music found a new way to blossom together. I was smiling as I was reading. Just wonderful language throughout. You can pick any stanza, and it's good word. The inner smile. He was talking about the natural love. And transferred it so skillfully to children, only unique, born to grow in their own way, to their own selves be true. It was so skillful. His descriptions of flowers, chaos in the choreographed order. Every stanza gives us a look at nature and with magic language. It's a terrific piece. Why these people write well? Man.
Oh, absolutely. The vividity in the scenery is ravishing. You look at some of the choices you ripped into this peppermint grass spreads, soil laughs as flowers ripple, waves of sea in vivid blooms, lullaby of springtime echoes in sun-warmed ears. It's almost as it keeps going on and on. It's almost a nice quiet note to a huge estate, and every little section of that estate is kind of cordoned off into specialty areas where you've got the stuff that blooms throughout the entirety of the spring and summer. Those little tidbits in between that grow at certain times, so you get flashes of color to match up with this one and others that grow low to the ground against the smaller in the backdrop and larger in the back of that, so you get a full view of the beauty that is ensconced in the garden itself. And that next second, I'll understand the flowers are chaos in the choreographed order, the arts and science, yet also with a magic that reach to the core, song for the eyes and the silence of woodland, brilliance the world needs, even under the cloud, they are the sunshine. Great language, wonderful piece. Thank you, Robert. All right, Gene, come back to me.
Okie dokie. Well, the next one I'm going to put up is by Scott Sharp, S. Sharp. Been in, and I have an audio for that. Okay, so here we go. Yeah, here. I know it is. Yeah, right there.
Pressed into action. The bus passes by here, 59 Temple Place, Boston, Mass. Where rocks are pressed into concrete like men into war across the Atlantic. The battlefield fills with stones thrown into battle. Where they have fallen, they'll lie forever. These stones, unpolished, came from across the world, backyard barbecues in Bonn, Germany, playing in the Sin River, too. Skipping across Lake Garda in Italy, here in Boston, Mass, too. Now they lie here, pressed in a concrete battlefield, suspended in time, motionless in history, unknown soldiers since 1915.
Great read, Scott. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And Laurent, why don't we start with you?
Oof. Press into action. I was wondering, you know, where we're going from there. And I've got this sickening sensation of seeing somebody being run over by a large bulldozer and just pushed into the mud. Body lost, but in there anyhow. And then another one after that. The metaphor of rocks pressed into concrete and then pressed into the battlefield is a little unnerving, because things like that have happened. Now they lie here, pressed in a concrete battlefield, suspended in time, motionless in history, like an ant, the drop of amber, but buried in the earth. Oh, it really evokes a lot of sensations, this piece. Very skillful.
Thank you very much, Law. And Gene, how about you?
Well, I have to say it was a great piece. I love how he made his references into the effects of war. It was well penned and expressed. It's I'm with Laurent, it kind of is a little unnerving when you think about the comparisons here. But these stories, unpolished, came from across the world. Backyard barbecues in Bonn, Germany, playing in the Seine River, to skipping across Lake Garda in Italy, here in Boston, Mass, too. He kind of tried to pull all those worlds together in these thoughts, and he did a fine job with that. So another great piece, Scott, and I want to thank you for sharing with us, you know, as you always do. Well done. Well done, piece.
Thank you, Gene. And Katie, how about you?
This is another one of those very deep, sad pieces of poetry, which I feel always needs to be written and read, because we need to remember all these things that are being talked about and not allow the same thing to happen again. So I think he did a brilliant job. I love the end stanzas going from 3 to 2, to one, no, another two, and so forth. I thought that was very, that's a very good way to end this one. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. I checked, I looked up 59 Temple Place. Apparently it's being redone into a new boutique hotel. So I get the impression here, the passage of time from what it once was. I don't know what it was in previously, but it holds something for Scott as a note. The idea of where rocks are pressed in the concrete, like men into war across the Atlantic, there is that note of the passage of time and what and how we build past that time. The thought of the battlefield fills a stone thrown into battle where they've fallen. Don't be life forever. A note to those who've given up their life for that which you now bulldoze what once was to put up something that is supposed to mean something more than what was already there. So it kind of hits on the idea of that suspended in time, motionless from history, kind of hits that place holds some memory of something. I'm not quite sure. I'd have to do a little bit more research on it. But the thought of unknown soldiers since 1915 also paints that we forget sometimes of what was once there but is no longer. And this is kind of a remembrance of what that meant at one point in time to the people of Boston. So, on to you, Ben Scott. Or Jean, we're coming up back to you.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Rex, I'm coming to you with this piece by Ed Hunter. And this was one of the tribute pieces for Wolf Spirit. So we're moving into those few carryovers. So here we go. Whenever you're ready. I'll be in it.
The Innocent Earth by Ed Hunter. Wisdom is possible if you allow your wings to spread against the blue sky and cherish the innocence of earth. This soundless journey must blossom into a fruitful well-being, leaving goodness to share. And poem. And Jean, why was not with you?
Wow, because I was behind. What a wonderful brevity. Wisdom is possible if you allow your wings to spread against the blue sky and cherish the innocence of earth. Right there at that first two lines, one line, paints a wonderful picture. Don't gain the world and lose your soul. Wisdom is better than silver or gold. What a great quote this is, too. As well, I did not know there was quotes in this. But definitely a wonderful piece written by Ed Hunter. So, Ed, I want to thank you for writing and sharing with us, and a wonderful tribute to Wolf Spirit. I think it really kind of speaks in his language of, the real world. Nicely done.
Thank you, Jean. And, Laurent, how about you?
It's a wish. It's a hope. It's a prayer. For Wolf Spirit and for the world, cherish the innocence of earth. Speaks to me of an earth without stain other than the ones that we leave on it. And this soundless journey, I get the impression of flying high in the sky, as the first line says, allow your wings to spread against the blue sky. And that kind of flight up there is absolutely quiet because you're moving with the wind. There's no sound at all. It's really something. So skillful, moving, works for the prompt, works for anyone who reads it. Excellent.
Nice, Laurent. Thank you. And Katie, how about you?
I agree with Laurent. This is a very cleverly written, very, very good. In so few words, you've got the whole of what we should be doing against what we have been doing. We need to cherish. We just need to cherish the earth. I'm going to be saying this till I take my last breath, I reckon, and I really don't think it's going to change much because we just don't have the momentum anymore that we used to have. We've become too cottages and too living in a nanny state. I'm talking about Great Britain, obviously, at this point. So, yes, I agree totally. Yes, I know. I agree
testify,
totally.
Testify.
I would love to. I would love to. Yeah. We've had more boneless, boring, bar stewards in our country than we really need. That's all I can say. I suppose you've had one or two yourselves. So, yes, I thought this was very cleverly done, Ed. Thank you for sharing.
Nice. Thank you, Jay. This piece works well off the quote he's got for his picture, "Don't gain the world and lose your soul. Wisdom is better than silver or gold." The idea being, don't take more than you need, because you should always leave something behind that is worth sharing with everyone else. So sentiment is well placed there, Ed. Thank you very much. And Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okey-dokey. Somehow it always comes back to me. I haven't figured that out yet. One day I'm going to step to the side and see what happens.
The wheels in the bus go round and round.
I think we have Naomi on the line. Let's see what this is here. Naomi, is that you hiding down there?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh,
hello.
Hi,
guys.
Hi, Naomi.
Hello.
Welcome to the party.
How are you guys tonight?
I don't know, but the rest of them might have an idea.
Hi, my dear.
Hi,
Naomi.
Hi, Laura. Mm-hmm. Hi, Rick.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Phil.
And you got a kick out of it, great.
Oh, your accent slays me every time. Oh, dear me. It takes me back to Mary Poppins and On the Roof when the guy tried to do the accent. Wonderful. Sorry, shut up. I will shut up.
Okay. Just take a spoonful of medicine if you made it. Well, we found that. A spoonful of sugar to make the medicine go down.
No, I think he's saying chim chim to thee. Chim chimini, chim 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 to thee. Yes, that's the one.
I am the creature and happy as thee.
Okay.
Wow.
It's not the right line, but it went with it.
Hello, Mikey. Hello, my dear.
I could be a mic for LNP musicals. Just say it.
just saying.
I love that.
Naomi, did you happen to hear Ed Hunter's piece?
No, I'm sorry. I just...
That's right. We'll get to the next one.
Yeah,
That's right. So for our next magic trick, we are going to put up a piece by Becky Friend, and this too is written for Wolf Spirit, and it's called Fugue of the River Cane Fleet. So here goes, and let me hit the button.
Fugue of the River Cane Flute by Becky Friend. A tribute to Wolf Spirit, inspired by his poem, Arrow. Bluegrass foothills cradle me in mountain greenery as they sing me to sleep. Notes that weep like a country song in minor key or a homespun gospel hymn. Refrains of a river cane flute ferried on the Appalachian wind. Voices of my Cherokee kin. Same sweet southern air that tosses my hair, carries that woodwind soundtrack for miles and miles, down evergreen aisles and through the tallest treetops. Chords that blend with the never-ending echoes of a thousand waterfalls, still drumming the tribal roll calls. But when the pink fingers of dawn push night aside, nocturnal faces hide as slants of sunlight, rose gold and yellow white, reveal to me the hills of history, the wailing Wyoming. And I see a stony silhouette of the spirit wolf. He still runs in the sunshine among the fallen stars and purple scars of a ravaged nation, along rocky blue ridges with red striations, like frozen bloodshed paused mid-flow centuries ago. Broken arrowheads, river flute echoes, and footprints of the dead still thread Appalachian's labyrinth of laurel. Traces of history on a trail paved with teardrops, lost in a man-made landslide, when native kin and statesmen collided, when peace, coexistence, and the countryside died. In poem.
Great read, Becky. Thank you for the sound cloud. It is very much appreciated. And Naomi, we're going to start with you, please.
Yes. Okay, I'm on mute. Oh, this is just magnificent. Oh, my gracious. And, you know, so great to hear Becky's voice. Oh, my, you know, never heard it before. She has such a beautiful voice. And, you know, what a beautiful tribute to, you know, this poet that passed away. It's such a wonderful homage, you know, to his work. I just love the stanza, and I see a stony silhouette of the spirit wolf. He still runs in the sunshine among the fallen stars and purple scars of a ravaged nation, along rocky blue ridges with red striations like frozen bloodshed paused mid-flow centuries ago. Oh, this is just magnificent, Becky, my gracious. You know, I so love her writing. And, you know, whenever I get the chance to read a piece of hers, it just blows me away every time. Just, this is just, you know, superb work. Bravo.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And, Laurent, how about you?
Becky's written really a heart-wrenching piece. The language makes me sad. It makes me wistful. The content of the piece is it's quietly dramatic, if that makes any sense at all. I was going to read the one that was just read, but when I read that stony silhouette of the spirit wolf, he still runs in the sunshine among the fallen stars and purple scars of a ravaged nation along rock. Oh, no, that's the one you didn't. I'm sorry. But I read red striation, like frozen bloodshed in my eyes and wide. That was an eye-widening moment, the use of the language. Just perfect. This poem incorporates the history. It incorporates truth. It uncovers lies and gives us the reality of what happened, and blends it all into this wonderful tribute to Wolf, who is, you know, those are his woods, those that labyrinth of trees that stretches along the Appalachian. Excellent, excellent piece, Becky.
Well said, Laurent. Thank you. And Katie, how about you?
Oh, this was a lovely tribute. I really felt the love and the pain from this friend. Everybody is missing him very much, I know that. But to know that this kind of poetry will be written for you, it's just lovely. It really is. It's a wonderful tribute. Probably been said already, sorry. But my favorite stanza was the first one. I thought it kind of drew me in. Blue grass foothills cradle me in a mountain greenery as they sing me to sleep. Notes that weep. Mm-hmm. Very, very well done, Becky. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. And Jean, how about you? Unmute.
Starting to ask a lot from me there, Rex. Starting to ask a lot from me. I'm with Katie. I really enjoyed the intro stanza on this piece. I thought it was nice. But I liked each of the others as well. I think that the first one just puts you in that right mindset for what she's writing. And I think it was a beautiful response to Wolf's poem, because that's what she did. She read it to one of Wolf's poems called The Arrow, or Arrow, by Wolf Spirit. If I had realized that, I probably would have asked somebody to read that one first, just so we had both of them in sight. But beautifully done, Becky, as always. And, wonderful audio. And, sorry for your loss. Sorry for everybody's loss. It's a shame. Wolf was a wonderful poet. And he'd be a really good friend. That didn't take away from what was really there. So, well done. Well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. It's delicate. And it's beautifully writ. And I love the inclusion of the flute in the background. Adds a little mystical air to the piece itself. But that one stanza after the wailing Wayani, and I see a stony silhouette of the spirit wolf. He still runs in the sunshine among the fallen stars and purple scars of a ravaged nation. I remember when he told that story of how he got his wolf spirit, when he was walking in the hills one day, and he came across this wolf, and they looked at each other before it trotted off. So that was a nice touch with that stanza all by itself. So well done, Becky. All right, Jean. Back to you.
Okay. Well, the next piece is the last carryover from Wolf Spirit's show, and this one is by Lila. And it's called In Loving Memory of Wolf Spirit. Here we go. Let me hit the button for the audio.
A thousand sounds of words yelled towards the moon. Less than night and less than day. Less than gone by history's haze. Quick as flash lightning bound by fangs. Four wolf back slice and vanishing serpents. Exigence in hungry worlds. Pictures scuttled on the ocean floor, dissolving the teeth of death's cut trees that whispers immortal in terrified misspell. A perfect circle, verging origination, its sharp tip piercing creation, and then, I stagger to my loom of wolf days in dangling, blood in seltzer, wine's reverse dream about grapes, I'll web unbound, pop at pale speed, drift to my eyes to focus, to my teeth, wolfen still, flash remembered.
Great read, Leland. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is appreciated. And Kate, why don't we start with you?
Oh, yes, here I am. That is another lovely tribute, so beautifully read, and obviously so beautifully written. It's so many powerful stanzas. But again, I go for that first one. a thousand sounds of words yelled towards the moon, less than night and less than days, less than gone by history's haze. Yes, really lovely, lovely sentiments. And I think another one of those that will bear listening to or reading again, because it was just so spot on, so correct. And I really enjoyed it. Thank you for the share.
Thank you, Kate. And Naomi, how about you?
Yes. Wow. You know, I echo what Katie just said. With that first stanza, just amazing. But all the way through, I mean, just wow. You know, and then I staggered to my loom, wolf dazed in dead den gloom, blood and seltzer, wine's reverse dream about grapes, a web unbound, fog at pale speed, gets my eyes to focus, my teeth wolf and still flesh remembered. All these people who knew him, I didn't know him much personally, but, you know, all these amazing poets that wrote great tributes to him speak volumes of, you know, how he impacted so many. So, you know, it's really touching to hear all these great rites. So, wow. Another one by Lila here, and amazingly well written. Bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
Yeah, let me get off mute. Lila writes some amazing poetry. Use of language is startlingly good. Quick as flash lightning bound by fangs, four wolf packs slithe and vanishing serpents, exigency in hungry worlds, pictures scuttled on the ocean floor, dissolving in the teeth of death's cut trees that whispers immortality in terrified misspell. What a use of words. Lispers. Fascinating way she uses the word lisp. I get a sense of this. She writes from the perspective of a wolf, is what it, and succeeds. It's an odd thing that she does, but she is very convincing the way she does it, really. Excellent.
Nice. Thank you, Laurent. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I think this was just a nicely penned tribute piece to Wolf Spirit. And I thought she did a great job capturing the spirit of the wolf in her right. Well done, Layla, and thank you so much for sharing with us all. Great job.
Thank you. You're right with that sort of writing in the wolf, but that last stanza kind of walks a little differently. The idea of maybe werewolf and the metamorphosis of man into beast. So maybe the metaphor there is that man can be beast at times, and that's how we walk, and that's how things roll. Because she hits on a blood and seltzer, wine's reverse dream about grapes, of a web unbound, fog at pale speed, drifts my eyes to focus, my teeth, wolf and still, flesh remembered. There's that awakening moment once you're transforming back, that you still taste the flesh that's on your lips that you have imbibed upon as you were in your wolfen form. Nicely done there, Leela. Thank you.
What lips?
All right, Jean. Excuse me?
Okay.
What lips he has.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Robert M., and it's called Affliction of Addiction, version 2. Put that up, and I'll hit that button.
This is my recital of the Affliction of Addiction, version 2. There you are, merely an ashen husk of dead dreams, shambling amidst cesspools of depravity. Those who sample your flavor, they often say that they can taste a tragedy upon your lips. Your hair, that once shimmered like raven down, is now a tangled nest of clumpy filth, adding definition to the grimy lament that you seem to wear as a crown. Your eyes, that once were the beacons of endearment, which sat aglow with such resplendence, are now hollowed beads of dismal dreariness, housed in swelling, as mere vestiges of the woman long lost. Your legs, they used to be the envy of the block, with a simple display of those smooth calves you had men eating from the palm of your hand. Now, they are riddled with scars, burns, and punctures, some of which are half scabbed over. Your shine, it is as bleak now as the hopes I had that you would change. Many had no choice and fell into the depths as collateral damage from the struggles of life. But you mock their torment and cheapen their trials by choosing to be that way. Your will is your own. Your choice is your own. Your consequence is your own. But never say that no one was there, since you burned a new bridge with each flick of the lighter, drowned another hope with each push of the plunger, and bit every hand that tried to feed you. You made your bed. And as sad as it is, there is no one to tuck you in now.
Great read, Robin. Thank you for the soundtrack. It is very much appreciated. And LeBron, why don't we start with you?
Well, completely dark, accusatory in tone, reproachful. There's a very quiet venom in his language. As he proceeds to tongue lash a person who has taken her life, absolutely ruined it, every chance thrown away, every friend scorned, without hope. And when he says, your will is your own, your choice is your own, your consequences are your own, you know, there's nothing worse than having that thrown in your face and then you know it's true. But, you know, then she had people there to help. And as he says, he burned a new bridge with each flick of the lighter, drowned another hope with each push of the plunger, bit every hand that tried to feed you. Wow. Excellent piece.
Nice. Thank you very much, Laurent. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I really, wow, this was really dark and deep and, you know, tragic. You know, you really felt the decline, you know, the decline into darkness of this character here. And, you know, the way he ended it, you made your bed. And as sad as it is, there's no one to tuck you in now. You know, it's your own darn fault. You're like that, you know. But all the descriptions as it goes down there, you know, from the hair, the eyes, the legs, the shine, you know, wonderful language used throughout this poem, and, you know, amazing, amazing write by Robert here. So, wow, it's amazing.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Jean, how about you?
Trying to figure out where to begin with this one. Gosh, you know, each stanza, he really nailed it, you know. But I have to say, I picked it up. Your will is your own. Your choice is your own. Your consequence is your own. But never say that no one was there, since you burned a new bridge with each flick of the lighter, drowned another hope with each push of the plunger, and bit every hand that ever tried to feed you.
you made your bed. And as sad as it is, there's no one to tuck you in now. That was just like in your face and wonderful. Just really well done by Robert. Well said and great work, Robert. Thanks for sharing with us, as always.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jean. And Katie, how about you?
Oh, yes. Deep. Felt deeply as well. And every word slashing home. Very, very well written. I seem to be drawn to the first stanza these days. Used to be the last one that got me, but this one, again, it leads you in so subtly, and there you are. There you are, merely an ashen husk of dead dreams, shambling amid cesspools of depravity. Those who sample your flavor, they often say that they can taste the tragedy upon your lips. And then he goes on from there beautifully, and I thought, it was a wonderful piece of poetry, so thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, everybody. Now, I, too, was drawn to that first stanza. And, Laurent, you're right. There is a note to bitterness, anger, and even despair in this. But there's also a note to bittersweet because those next three stanzas, your hair, your eyes, your legs, they offer up what once was, too, that once shimmered like raven down, that once were the beacons of endearment. They used to be the envy of the block. So there's a note of reverence. And then what the back end of those stanzas all reveal the back end of that first stanza, the reality that is now seen. And your will, your choice, your consequence, all is true. But that comes with the idea of when you get into, when you're that full into the drug of choice, it takes you and you will shit on everybody and burn every bridge for that next fix until it finally does you in. And I think that's the back end of this. It could have been something more if she had actually taken the help offered, and that there's the resentment right there. So nicely done, Robert.
All right, Gene.
It's about to see you.
Okay, I have, next piece I'm going to put up, Kate, I'm going to ask you to read, please. And this is by A.R. Mundell called Blood Sugar Mourns.
Okay, no problem, thank you.
Thank you.
I have it. Blood Sugar Mourns. Mourns wake to dreamy fogs, like curling chains, they lie, mountainous, turning all thoughts lame. They climb Everest from bed or ever rest and mount a search for essence to ingest. First barnacles tear, exposing molten core as earthquake legs fumble at the shore. Blind rag navigates by hints of before as sand shifts back over coveted drawer. Excavation uncovers life's tree zest, lulling quest to boneless rest. Sweetness quenches, desert drive, thoughts find rain, sentience drags like fingers through your brain. End poem.
Great read, Katie. Thank you very much. And Jean, why don't we start with you, please?
I thought this was nicely expressed. I wasn't sure where it was going to go from just the title. But hypoglycemia, mornings, mind fog, rhyme, and brevity. I think it was really well put together based on that. You know, some mornings you wake up and your sugar's off, and, you know, here you are trying to scramble to pull it all back together and start over or at least keep moving. And I think that she did a fine job with describing all this. First barnacles tear, exposing molten core, as earthquake legs fumble at the shore. Blind drag navigates by hints of before, as sand sift back over a coveted drawer. Intriguing. I mean, some of the wording is intriguing. It's definitely pulled together with a lot of thought and ways of expressing the plight of your sugars being off. So nicely done, Amy, and clever work.
Excellent. Thank you, Jean. Naomi, how about you?
I was going to recite the same stanzas as Phil just did, because I thought they were, you know, that was that one there, the first barnacle tear, exploded molten core as earthquake legs fumble at the shore. Wow, you know, she has the most unique and clever metaphor, Amy does, you know, and it's just amazing what she can come up with. And this is just, you know, just fabulous, so clever, so clever. And, you know, she just creates that kind of mood, too, with the rhythm throughout and that line. And it's just amazing writing, like Amy can always do it. So bravo, Amy.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
I think Jean nailed it when she said low sugar. This is a person who has a hard time getting up in the morning. Mom's wake to dreamy fogs, to climb Everest from bed of Everest, you know, to take the energy, summon the energy, to get out of bed and mount a search for essence to ingest. Whether it's food, whether it's coffee, it doesn't matter. Excavation uncovers life tree's zest. That speaks to the energy that she's about to consume. A very clever piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laurent. And Katie, you got to read it. What about you?
Well, again, it was a joy to read. It's just very, very easy to go from one standard to the next. But for a change, I would say I liked the last one. Sweetness quenches, desert dry thoughts find rain, sentience drags like fingers through my brain. That is beautifully put together. That is really well done. And in 81 words, we have the whole story of trying to get out of bed in the morning when your body isn't doing what you want it to do. And that sugar is probably all you crave. But thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. I do like that second stanza of the play on words, to climb Everest from bed of Everest. There's a nice touch there of including the mountain climb as well as the note to, can't get up. And the metaphor with the, where was it, earthquake legs, the heaviness, because you don't have that that energy that's needed to get you going. And then the sort of blind drag navigates by hints of before as sand sift back over, cover the drawer. And I did like the ending on this, which was quite good as well, as Kate just hit on. So nicely done, AR. Thank you very much. And we're back to Eugene.
Oh, Eugene. Yeah, he's not here. He took off. Running. I might add. Okay, Laurent, the next one up for you is by Cedar Chapman, called Submit.
Submit. Hey. Submit. Fought in the gravity well of your black morphine star. My thirst is quenched. Every stroke of your leather tassels peels away the concrete bark that hides the raw flesh beneath the milky pith. I stand naked before you, stripped from the corsets of a cubic world, bound on a rack built by your kingdom. In this room, porcelain shards fall from the ceiling as white snowflakes. I am the moon that orbits your Jupiter, the maiden that polishes your bejeweled crown. Pull tight on the jute cord. Let the grimmest silence emanating from my satin gag command you to quell my inner storm and unlock the caves. End poem.
Great read along. Thank you very much.
And Naomi, why don't we start with you?
This is sensual, but dark at the same time. But, you know, it's so well written. I am the moon that orbits Jupiter, the maiden that polishes she a bejeweled crown. You know, that's just amazing. Those lines right there. Bound on a rack built by your kingdom in this room, porcelain shards fall from the ceiling, white snowflakes. You know what's going on, but, you know, he uses these amazing metaphors and, yeah, you know, throughout that just, they're just so suitable and so well thought up, you know, to suit this poem. Great job here, Cedar Chapman, you know, wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you, Naomi. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I like this one a lot. It's full of angst, and it's full of feelings and somebody having a really hard time. But I like the fact that he is the moon that orbits Jupiter. Whoever. Yeah, that last stanza, a cracker, I think. Pull tight on the jute, oh, my voice is going, I'm so sorry. Pull tight on the jute cord, that the grimmest silence emanating from my satin gag command you to quell my inner storm and unlock my chains. I go for that. Go for the unlocking of the chains. Beautifully done, Cedar. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
This is very different for Cedar Chapman, and I have to say I really enjoyed what he did. He does a great job. Nice take on the chosen prompt, the poem that he chose to write against. And I thought that he pulled it together beautifully. You know, an excellent, excellent job in the attempt to do something different and new. You know, I've yet to see a poem from Cedar that I didn't think really was high on a list of well done, you know. And this is really no exception to that. So nice job, Cedar, and thank you very much for sharing it with us all tonight. I enjoyed the piece very much. Well done.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, Cedar gives us an interesting look at the world of bondage and submission. I think the third large stanza, I stand naked before you, stripped from the corsets of a cubic world, bound on a rack built by your kingdom. This room, porcelain shards fall from the ceiling as white snowflakes. Language is delightful. Messages. But, you know, it's very poetic in the way it runs through it. It offends nobody, but it says, you know, if you read between the lines, it is downright nasty. I liked it.
Absolutely. That opening was quite a nice lead-in. Caught in the gravity well of your black morphine star, my thirst is quenched. And that second last stanza kind of walks up, if you read between the lines, I am the moon that orbits your Jupiter, the maiden that polishes your bejeweled crown. And then that finishing note that Kate rolled off of, well done, Cedar, quite the piece, and done.
Yeah.
The language that works itself. A little bit of magic. Nicely done. All right, Gene, we're back in the new.
Happy day. That was all right. Naomi, I have a piece for you to read now, if you don't mind. It's called To Wisdom from Knowledge to a Fool. I hope so. So whenever you're ready. Naomi, are you on mute?
Yes, I'm on mute. I was just saying I hope I do this justice because she writes so beautifully. To wisdom from knowledge to a fool. Weeds on the dome sprout up tiny dandelions. The barrenness of the soil reveals cracks in the psyche. Water lilies wish to drink brandy, pollute the oasis with more than tangible absences of light, which soaks in the pores, birthing tiny pools of tar. Hands rest on the temple, pouring down excellent oil that breaks the head filled with calamities, counting each blade of Kentucky bluegrass, those brilliant dreams that dances with the winds in the promised land, blooming seas of rich milk and honey, knocking on the door that leads to the bridged Rome. 10 lamps flicker, 5 jars are filled, maiden standing and waiting for the wedding banquet to commence. Open the door for this once wise fool. Prayers sent in paper planes straight past the pearly gates, turning into divine liquid sparkling waters that fills the vase. Each offering droplet fleeing the lips of a mother whose Maximilian sunflower heart always wanted more for a sinner than the sinner herself. Abba, funnel down your wisdom to freshly cleaned ears. Set a merciful dinner at a table for the head of the house who isn't deserving. Red apples and purple grapes, bacon with sunny side up, uvos, Kerrygold, pure Irish butter, salted and warmed, smeared across lightly browned, toasted rosemary bread, the crunch of the first bite, crisp chews and chops will be music to this body that houses the soul of the holy. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Laurent, why don't we start with you, please?
To be quite frank, I'm struggling with this one. If you can give me a moment more to reread
sure.
it.
Kate, how about you?
Oh, my goodness. If Laurent is struggling, what on earth did you come to me for? I love your confidence. I do love your confidence. It's so good. Okay, I can do this. Good heavens. Just read into the words. Read them. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought this was another beautiful write. From Hope. I think, and the painting is wonderful. It's hands rest on the temple, pouring down excellent oil that breaks the head filled with calamities. I like that. So basically, this is a soothing stanza. This is the one that sort of starts everything slowing down a little bit. The greens of the grass in the promised land, seas of rich milk and honey. So yeah, this is a portent of things to come. Things will not always be as frantic or as barren as they are. And they were obviously going to get a lot better. So open up the door for this once wise fool. Prayers sent in paper planes straight past the pearly gates, turning into divine liquid sparkling water that fills the vase, each suffering droplet fleeing the lips. I thought this was a piece of poetry that was very cleverly worked on. It flowed beautifully, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a whole lot. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you very much. And Naomi, how about you?
Well, I think she's talking about everything that's gone wrong with humanity, and their view on Christianism and because everything, you know, the dandelions that are trying to sprout, the weeds that sprout, the tiny dandelions, the barrenness of the soil, the cracks in the psyche, the polluted, the brandy that pollutes the oasis, Then she goes into the temple, pouring down excellent oil that breaks the head filled with calamities. So, you know, the way humanity gets all mixed up, I think, inside of, I think, what's preached, what's in their faith, everybody, all these people, these man-made religions try to fill your heads with. I think you get all mixed up in it. That's what I read into it anyway. And, I think you just get boggled in the whole process. And, you know, I think it's a whole extended metaphor with metaphors inside of it, you know, of everything that's going wrong. So that's what I read into it. Sorry, Hope, if I didn't get it. awesome layer.
Thank you. Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say my interpretation is like on the money, but I just thought it was a beautifully penned piece, wonderful imagery throughout. And, I picked up here, Abba, funnel down your wisdom for two freshly cleaned ears. Set a merciful dinner at a table for the head of house who isn't deserving. Red apples and purple grapes, bacon with sunny side up huevos, Kerrygold pure Irish butter, salted and warmed and smeared across lightly browned toasted rosemary bread. The crunch of the first bite, crisp chews and chops will be music to this body that houses the soul of the holy. I thought that it was a really descriptive stanza. It was so real, you know, when you read it. And, it just had a lot going on. And I think, you know, it will be the music to this body that houses the soul of the holy. You know, it's a temple. It's just a vessel to hold the holy from the way this works. And you got to keep it going, right? That's what I think.
Absolutely.
But thanks so much for sharing with us tonight, Hope, and a great job with this piece.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Laurent, how about you?
I've taken a little bit from what everybody has been saying. The poem is beginning to open up for me, but only so. The images flash from side to side, and I keep looking for the key to unlock this. But what Naomi said, I think, was most helpful. The conclusions reached. Oh, here we go. Each suffering droplet fleeing the lips of a mother whose Maximilian sunflower heart always wanted more for a sinner than the sinner herself. That was well said. I don't get a lot of the references. I think it was Abba. I don't even know what Maximilian was. I feel like a real dummy when reading this, I swear.
Great comments, everybody. Thank you very much. I'm going to go with faith, hope, and belief. There is a note within this that walks strongly. There'll be temptations along the road of your life. And if you give in to temptations, then you stray from the path of that which you strive to be on. That stanza you wrote, wanting more for a sinner than a sinner herself, offers up that note of being kind to those who are sinners, while giving them a chance to repent, so to speak. And I did like those last eight lines were gorgeous. Kerrygold, pure Irish butter, salted and warm, smeared across light and brown, toasted rosemary bread, the crunch of the first bite, crisp hues and chops will be music to this body that houses the soul of the holy. That reference right there, that how they're treating your body right, mining the temptations, and not giving in to that which is offered up to you on a daily, weekly, or yearly basis with the tiny things that bring you down and have you questioning your faith. So nicely done there, Hope. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Rex, we got a lot of poems left. So they're trying to, I have, here's what we have to do. I have one for you to read, and then I have Naomi, I have Frank, who's out in the room, we have Laurent, and we have Weaver, and we have Stelina. So, and they're all at the bottom of this list. Dang it.
Okie dokie.
So, just trying to give you a heads up, we're not going to be able to do a whole lot of comments, but we're not going to get through them. But,
all right.
Okay. This one. Okay, the next one I have for you. And this is Monday Through Sunday by Nuno Cardoso.
Okay, okay.
Thank you.
Monday Through Sunday by Nuno Cardoso. As tiny girls dance on the grilled light brown grass, I think of sledgehammers banging on the walls upstairs as I count the thumps and drills and murder. How many men are working, and how many men can I kill by myself? Lips tap the bottleneck of warm Sagres Portuguese beer. They also kiss a glass of cheap Gordon gin without tonic water, with ice boulders larger than the round glass and life in its own grandeur and simplicity. And then comes the neighbor with the tonic water and the lemon. We sip it and get drunk on it as he offers me grilled meat. I'm more of a drinking guy then I'm an eating guy, I say. He chuckles and tells me to taste it at least. So I dig in on a spare rib pork piece with fat around it. Then Mistress Death herself whispers to me as the wind blows from north, south, west, and east. You know, we're not that far from one another. We dance and we laugh and we drink, but here I am still alive, drunk as a camel on an oasis, kicking the dry, dying leaves with my burning hooves. Half an hour late for work, I decided to Uber. €8 fee from 500 I still have left. From all my responsibilities, I clock in 1 hour late. Anyhow, I was still the most efficient worker in that warehouse, forsaken by any god brave enough to face me. And Paul. And Naomi, I want to start with you, please.
Oh, my gracious. My headphones just fell off. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you know, this is, you know, it has a humorous side, but it also has a sad side, I find. You know, the way he, I don't know, just the emotion of the whole piece, you know, he's talking about, you know, this whole place here where he's, you know, I think it's he's Portuguese. He must be Portuguese. And, you know, the way that he drinks and, and, you know, the way he goes in to that forsaken warehouse, you know, being a worker, you know, the next day. So yeah, it kind of like talks about drinking a lot, but you know, with a humorous side but a sad side, like I said. But you know, just wonderful writing Nuno has. I haven't been reading him for very long, but everything I read from him is so layered, so clever, and so well thought out. So amazing writing.
Thank you, Naomi. And Kate?
Hello? Is that me?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, I thought this was marvelous. I really enjoyed it so much. I like them all. I like all the stanzas. They were wonderful. I particularly like, and then comes the neighbor with the tonic water and the lemon. You sip it and get drunk on it. As he offers me grilled meat, not even specific meat, just grilled meat. Sounds wonderful. I thought this was very clever, and I enjoyed it. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Kate. And one more, Laurent, how about you?
the author has an eye for a small story that fascinates. And the story of his getting drunk with his neighbor is absolutely charming.
Thank you, Laurent. All right, Gene, we're coming back your way.
Okay. I'm going to leave my comments in writing, and thank you, Nuno, for sharing with us. Excellent piece. And now, Naomi, I'm going to get you to read your piece next. And here we go. Here we go. Whenever you are ready.
Yeah, this is a brevity, so not very long. Without you. Roaring tides, shattered crashes of insomnia. You, who returns to me from yesterday, the clinging shadow of your absence. With you, I learned to listen to the softness of spring, the trees in winter, the blazing autumn. And I heard your eyes sparkle from having stolen the sky when it burned with summer. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. Thank you very much. And Kate, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, as ever, Naomi, you just write everything so well. You've got how many words? I don't know. Not many. It's a brevity, so obviously there's not many. But you've given us all of this, all of your heart, all of your thoughts, and the love in the blazing autumn. I thought it was marvellous. I can't say more because we're trying not to talk too long, but bravo.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Kate. And Ron, how about you?
Yeah, living in the shadow of the absence of a lover, not being able to sleep at night, thinking of the things learned with that person. Gorgeous right. Stand a lot in there, my friend.
Thank you, Laurent.
Nice. I'll sound with what Laurent just said. And Kate, this does walk in sadness. It walks a little bittersweet, too, because the memories still linger, and that is what's keeping you awake.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm doing a lot, and then I'm going to go back to Frank. Okay. I'm doing a lot whenever you are ready. Here we go.
All right. This is for Stellina's contest, Dance Macabre. And it's called Macabre's Deadly Tune. Blood will run, blood will boil. In secret streams it runs to spoil. Soaking earth in ochre pools. It's dusky red like clouded jewels. Springing from the throat, pulsing from the wound. Deathly smile encircling neck. You dance Macabre's deadly tune. If you cut, will I not bleed? Sharpened blade fulfills your need, cleaving evenly this open wound, gaping wider out in death's perfume. Slash me, gash me, take great care. My dying breath, your bell affair. And when I lie, cold and still, clasp me close, deny death's skill. One final dance, you lead, I follow. Gliding feet, no tomorrow, in the red of a dance macabre. End poem.
Great read, Laurent. Thank you very much. And Naomi, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, well, I love the short, impactful lines in this. Blood will run, blood will boil. And then, soaking earth in ochre pools.
Ochre.
And, and then slash me, gnash me, you know, take great care, my dying breath, your bella fire. And, you know, just, and the ending, wow, you know, as you come down to that danse macabre, when I lie cold and still, clasp me close, deny death still, one final dance you lead, I follow. You know, you're following death's dance there, death's song, death's voice, and brilliantly, brilliantly put. This whole thing is like a dance with death. So, great, great.
Thank you, Naomi.
Nice to see you, Naomi. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes. It was so clean, so well written, so, it had me, it really had me. In dusky red, like clouded jewels springing from the throat, pulsing from the wound, deathly smile and circling neck, we danced Macabre's deadly tune. I thought it was wonderful. I'm being brief, but thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
I got to go with Blood Will Run, Blood Will Boil, in secret streams it runs the soil, soaking earth and ochre cools, it's dusky red like clouded jewels. It's a quiet note to little Shakespeare, Blood Will Run, Blood Will Boil. And again, when you, where was it? Oh, with that last line, that first one, Death's Smile and Circling Neck with Dance Macabre's deadly tune. Death's Smile, it reminds me of a Colombian necktie. And
yeah.
Then I thought again, if you cut, will I not bleed? Again, a little noted reference to Shakespeare. And my dying breath, your belle affaire. My dying breath, your sweet affair. It's a nice note there to giving in the moment to that note of death. And then in the red of a dance macabre to finish, understanding the warmth of touch as you bleed out finally.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Coming to you, Jean.
Okie doke. The next piece I have up is by Poetic Picasso, and it's called For Her I Roam. Forever I roam this hour. I think that's what it's supposed to say. But you know how AP changes things. And here we go.
Hast thou not seen the unkindness of ravens looming over the drear and dark tower of London? They said that if the six resident ravens depart, the tower and lofty kingdom would collapse. Wretched be the foe that the curse befalleth upon, for so ominous is the unfortunate fate of doom. The gurgling, croaking, harsh, grating sound, echoing throughout the hollow walls with a shrill. Know that they are faithful and observing watchers, harbingers of the clear tidings of death and despair. Their allegiance is only to the master they serve. Behold the lost souls of the clamor of injustices. Those poor devils, the victims of the king's wrath, whose hearts were plucked out like torn petals. The thorns of vengeance cry out with a full force, and sharp shall be the dagger that pierces the king. The heavy manacles of oppression shall be lifted, with the just pall before a dirge of the caged and slain. And the souls of air shall rise from their tombs, to rule the tower with the righteous ones of time. Herefore thou shalt know about his abrupt downfall. and the tower shall be stained in thick royal blood. Hark! I hear them now from my solitary prison. Forever I roam the tower of the ghastly reverend.
Great read, Frank. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is much appreciated. And Kate, I want to start with you. Kate, you there?
Okay, I'm back. Sorry. I was away for a moment, but I judged it quite well. Anyway, well, Frank, what can I say? Ravens, wow. And I love that. I was looking up the names for groups of birds, and I was very happy with the unkindness of raven. I thought that was very good. I thought you've obviously taken this and really looked into it. Those poor devils, the victims of the king's wrath, whose hearts were plucked out like torn petals. That's a horrible story, though, isn't it? But, again, trying to be brief, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. And Laurent, how about you? You got to unmute.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is my favorite type of poetic language. The rollicking, rolling, classical, almost hyperbolic, but it isn't. It's delicious to read. It's delicious to listen to. Very nice.
Excellent. Thank you, Laurent. And Jean, we're back on you.
It's a heavy load on her.
I know. My knees hurt all the time and my back is shot. Okay, no more comments needed. Let me see. The piece up next is called Demonscape by Weaver of Dreams. And I have an audio. So here we go.
Once more in the depths of my dreamscape is you. I am draped within the curves of your live body. Your tensile strength is belied by the light caress of the razor-sharp tongues I feel touching my skin. Your warm, cinnamon-scented breath is always a precursor to a night that leaves me with sensual, salacious, vague memories of abandonment. That a demon and a woman could have the connection we have seems impossible and also disturbing. In my dreams, you are all man, and I am femininity personified. My days have passed with a smug smile on my lips. My breath quickens as night approaches ever closer. You are my passionate paramour. I cannot share your existence with anyone. They might try and cure me.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. All right, Laurent, what about you? What'd you think?
Oh, I think sweet little Katie has some dark desires. That's what I think. A demon and a woman. I've got all of my tongue. I really do. This is a dark little story. Not sensuous, but it's not sensuous, but it acknowledges the relationship. It's more dark than anything else, and I love the tensile strength is belied by the light caress of the razor-sharp talons I feel touching my skin. Could be sensuous, but it doesn't feel that way. But great piece.
You're absolutely right. That thought in the... in that second stanza, your warm cinnamon-scented breath is always the precursor to night that leaves with sensual, salacious, vague memories of abandonment. Boy, you talk about a saucy
wicked evening that she thoroughly enjoys and keeps to herself because, nah, you ain't taking this shit from me. This one's mine. And Jean? She's got to unmute.
Going around.
Okay. So you got me that time, guys. Like, you know. I thought this was a great piece, Kate. Dark, sensual piece. I see you slipped to the other side of the fence in this one. You know, that's what I got from it. So, nice job. Now, look, I have to...
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And I have to put up this next one before I get in trouble. Because I have to get this one done. I won't get in trouble. Okay. But I have to play it. This is a piece by Stellina. And it's called Some Like It Hot. And I don't know what you're for this.
Oh.
Here we go.
Guys or gals, it is so hard to tell. They dress up in drag surprisingly well. Both fiddle and sex in an all-girl band is definitely not what they had planned. But witnessing the St. Valentine's killing spree from the city of Chicago, they have to flee. To escape the clutches of mobsters, spats, they don bogus clothes and cunning hats. Both fall for sugar, chanteuse so sweet, while she, a millionaire, yearns to meet. Jerry is pursued by old Osgood with a yacht. Panicking, he insists that some like it hot. So they dance till dawn, then Joe is enraged to discover that Jerry had got engaged. You're a man, you're a man, he pleads desperately. I know, answers Jerry despondently. Osgood gets diamonds without a flaw, which Joe sweeps over to Sugar's door. He lies about leaving so as not to blow his cover, and Sugar cries she doesn't want another lover. Gangsters then turn up and give chase. Frantically, they all have to leave in haste. Osgood, after waiting in his boat at the dock, is warned by Jerry that he's in for a shock. I smoke, I play around, I never can have children. Oh, heck, I'm a man! Jerry thinks now Osgood will be disturbed. Well, nobody's perfect, he replies, unperturbed. Kate, why don't we start with you, please?
Of course, that was very well read. I enjoyed it a lot. Beautiful story of that wonderful film. And very well written. So, thank you again, Stellina. You never fail to please.
Nice. Thank you there, Kate. Laurent, how about you?
Great production by you guys. Has all the flavor of the movie, which I really like. Congratulations on another great piece.
Absolutely. And Stellina, thank you for asking. That was a lot of fun. And Jean, we're coming back to you for the closing argument.
Well, I have to say, guys, Stellina actually did a great job with that piece. Again, Stellina writes to your voice very well. And, yeah, I think that's wonderful. Yeah, to me, I have four carryovers, everybody, four. I have Dandish, you know, After the Fire. Oh, shoot, I just had them all right there in front of me. Yes, yes, yes. Jack Tomkovic and Joseph Moon. So all four of those will be in the startup for next week. And I want to thank everyone who put into this show tonight. It was a great show. full of wonderful poetry, wonderful audios, and a lot of fun. So thank you all so much. And Rex, thanks for co-hosting with me, as always. And Laurent and Kate, thanks for calling in and hanging with us all night long. Naomi, thanks for calling in. And thank you, Stelina, as always, for hanging on that board. And Hope, and yeah, I'm okay. Rex is better at that. He's got the names in his head. He's better. I'm not.
Filled all night.
Definitely a wonderful, wonderful night. So thank you all. And I guess we'll talk soon. Rex, I haven't talked to you before. I'll definitely see you on Sunday. And have a great night. And thank you again. Great job.
Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.